So Mr. Rines, you are a keynote speaker at ETA 2014. Mm-hmm. So what is the importance of this conference within the community of electronic, thank you very much, electronic design automation?
Well, there are specialties in electronic design automation that are very complex and very important. The design for test is one of the most interesting because it attracts among the most sophisticated engineers and scientists and has some of the most challenging problems both mathematically and engineering-wise. So the group of people around the world is relatively limited. Yeah. Most of them know each other. And to interact with them is a real privilege because when they interact, new ideas emerge, and conferences like ETS mm-hmm. are the kinds of places where that interaction occurs.
Yeah, I see. Great. So what do you think are the biggest current challenges in the field of the EDA, and what are the benefits of an improved design?
EDA is being challenged mostly by the fact that as the technology advances, it means we can put more transistors in a given area of silicon or on a single chip. Mm. And with that comes the difficulty of what should those transistors do? Well, how do we define the functionality? How do we verify that they do what they're supposed to do? How do we deal with increasingly smaller physical dimensions in order to connect the wiring in that circuit and manufacture it? And finally, the most recent one is how do we verify that that chip doesn't do anything it's not supposed to do for security purposes?
Sure. Okay. Wow. Mm-hmm. So you're not only a co-chairman of the EDA, but it's also that you are a board member of the Semiconductor Research Corporation, but also a board member of the First Grown Family and Children Charities, which I like very much. It's really great. And in a globalized world, do you see a special social responsibility of those people who do these kind of inventions?
I think all of those people feel some sense of responsibility, both to use their skills to make the world a better place, but also to pay back in some way to help others realize the same opportunities.
Yes.
So I've had, I've actually enjoyed a lot of activities with universities. I've been on advisory committees for the University of Michigan, University of Florida, Stanford University, Lewis and Clark College, a variety of schools. And it's good for me to work with students, but it's also good to help the schools develop their curriculum and, of course, also to give if you can. So I have endowed a professorship, endowed a fellowship, things like that that I could do because I had the financial resources.
Mm. Beautiful. Okay. So you are a chairman and executive officer of the Mentor Graphics, and thus I lead a successful company, which I just heard is just beautiful how you just manage all these things and keep an overview. It's just very inspiring. So do you see this success coming from excellent products, or do you think you also have to have a special management or a working process to lead this success?
You need a lot of things. Great products by themselves do not a great company make. Great products are, of course, a key part of success. But one of the biggest challenges is how do you interact with potential users, make them aware of what you have, or determine what their real problems are so you can develop products that they will need. Mm-hmm. And then once you've successfully communicated the need, how do you support them? How do you provide the engineering so that they are successful with what they're doing? Mm-hmm. How do you do it multinationally in hundreds of countries? And then how do you seek out the innovative resources you need? Mm-hmm. For us, we have significant development activities in 36 different locations around the world, most of them in Europe and Asia.
Mm. Wow, okay. So from this point of view, what is the importance of academic research for an industrial company, and which kind of networking between industry and academia is necessary in your opinion?
It varies over time. The EDA industry is one that came largely out of universities plus the existing state-of-the-art in industry. So many of the successful companies in EDA were started by academics, or at least were successful because of using technology developed in universities. And even today, there's a very close link with the leading universities, but it's different than in the past. So in the early days of the industry, universities could conduct semiconductor manufacturing development. Now semiconductor manufacturing is much more expensive, so they've moved more and more to the computer science aspects, to algorithms, to mathematics, to physical effects that can be experimented with and analyzed on a smaller scale, where you don't need a large statistical base of components to work with. But the relationship still exists. And it's a great industry because so many of the major new innovations come from startups, which keep the big companies on their toes. And the startups are usually acquired by one of the big three companies, but in the meantime, they grow and become successful, and they were able to sort out what are the promising ones from the not-so-promising.
Yeah, I see. Wow. Okay. So do you see a significant change in the chip architecture and the methods needed for testing them in the future?
Because there, with every change in design rules, with every increase in complexity, there are new test problems that occur, and there are major architectural changes at various periods in time. In the about 10 or 12 years ago, we reached a maximum of clock frequency, and so architectures switched to multi-core, that is, multiple cores instead of running individual cores faster. Well, that meant the algorithms associated with how to use those processors effectively changed, and the ability to test them became much more complex because a given process or computational process might be spread over many processors, and the number of ways failure could occur increased and was very subtle and hard to find. In addition, just the sheer complexity, things I talked about today, the amount of test increases faster than the increase in the number of logic gates. And so things like compression had to be developed in order to comprehend and take care of that. And more recently, new failure models had to evolve, not just stochastic faults, but then transition faults, and now a whole variety of new fault models. And then lastly, as new technologies like FinFET emerge, there are even more ways to fail because of variability of the particular electrical characteristics of individual fins. And so it means that the industry, which has traditionally tested at the gate level, has to test at the transistor level as well, and that's an enormous step up in complexity of test.
Okay, well, this is great. So just a couple of more questions. I just hope I don't steal too much of your valuable time, sir.
No problem.
Okay. So this is a nice question. If you had two wishes for a professional life that you want to realize yet, what would they be?
Well, I really enjoy what I'm doing so much that it probably be that I could continue doing this forever and still be mentally aware, physically able, and so on. But if I were going to do other things, I wouldn't mind being a stand-up entertainer or actor.
Your way of speaking is just fascinating. It's great. I like it. It's not boring at all. I just listen, and it's great. It's really good.
Thank you.
Okay. So what is the importance of the University of Paderborn as a so-called University of Information Society, in your opinion, and in particular the technical study programs?
First, the world is and will be for the foreseeable future short of engineering talent. So no matter how many universities we build and no matter how many graduates we turn out, our innovation will be limited by the number of engineers. Second of all, It takes universities that have a very high degree of expertise to attract the kind of brilliant people who will be both brilliant teachers and brilliant researchers, so that we pass on the legacy and so we grow the legacy with time. In the case of Paderborn, where you have specialties that have their roots in information technology but have become much broader specialists in engineering and in the application of that technology, the opportunity exists to create whole new fields of pursuit that will expand wealth, the economy, innovation, safety, security, all the things that make for better lives. And I don't think you can invest too much money in quality, high-level educational institutions.
Yeah, very great. So that's right. Okay. So last question. What kind of experience that you made in your life, and you just have a lot of experience in academic and in business life, so just what kind of experience in your life you would like to pass on to our students? And because I saw you have a lot of ups and downs, and you still moved on, and you had great success. So what would you say to our students?
First, you have to love what you do.
Yes, okay.
Second, you have to be able to learn from your mistakes. Mm-hmm. And if you can, to make those mistakes as early in your career as possible, where the damage will be minimal.
Yes.
And so being self-critical, learning, and then making learning a lifetime process.
Mm-hmm.
Education is what you have when you've forgotten everything you learned. Okay. And today, there are so many opportunities to learn new things, to expose yourself to new technologies, to interact with people in fields that are totally unrelated.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you can do that, then you can grow intellectually, you can grow successfully in terms of creating new opportunities, new businesses, new technology. It's that creation process that I think for most people provides the satisfaction in their lives and that they would like to go on doing forever.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
It was a pleasure
to talk to you.